I'd like to welcome back Isotune Sport as a sponsor of the show for 2023. After over a decade in competitive shooting, I thought I had it all figured out, but I didn't know I was actually missing out on Bluetooth hearing protection. The first time you're on the range and you zero a rifle while listening to a little Chris Stapleton or some Poison, your life will never be the same. I pretty much live with my Isotune Sport calibers in my ears now. Along with going to the range, I wear them to the gym, the grocery store, walking around the neighborhood, everywhere. And I'm never in condition white because the active hearing still works, whether I'm listening to a podcast, a book, or even music. So if I need to hear something, the calibers amplify the sound to my comfort level. And if there's gunfire, like say on the range, it will cut the amplification to protect my hearing. All the benefits of active hearing protection with the modern functionality of Bluetooth to listen to music, podcasts, or even take phone calls. Get yourself some Isotune Sport Ear Pro today and join the Bluetooth revolution. Hello and welcome to the Prep and Press podcast. I'm your host, Dave Hartman. On this week's show, my guest is Kenzie Fitzpatrick. Kenzie is an entrepreneur and freelance marketer at Reticle Up Marketing, as well as host of the firearms industry-centric podcast, Reticle Up, the Reticle Up podcast. You've likely seen photos or read an article by Kenzie in Ballistic Magazine, the Blue Press, USPSA's front site, or one of many other publications. Kenzie started competing in the shooting sports in college, and she shot everything from GSSF to three-gun, precision rifle, USPSA, cowboy action, and more. In this podcast, we talk about the changing landscape of content creation in the firearms industry, adapting to different tools, platforms, censorship, all that other good stuff. And then we get into the best practices for those who want to create content around the shooting sports and Kenzie's predictions for the future of digital. She's a great example of just getting out there, doing something, doing a lot of it, never stopping, and good things come. I learned a lot from this conversation, and I know you will as well. So enjoy this episode of Prep and Press with Kenzie Fitzpatrick. Kenzie, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm stoked to be here. Now I'm on the hot seat.
Yeah, it's great to have you. This is new and exciting. We haven't been doing this for an hour and a half, that's for sure.
I changed. I smell great.
Yeah, for anybody listening, we just did the Reticle Up podcast, which Kenzie hosts, and it was exciting. So thanks for having me on your show.
That was fun. Thank you for coming on there. Little girl dreams, right, of me, of finally having Dave Hartman on my show. Like, what up? No, I'm excited. and there's not many three gunners I've stuck around. I know we talked about that for years, and I feel like I'm in the trenches, and I love it. Yeah, so it's fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. I still consider myself as like a newbie in the sport, you know, right, like still going around learning and everything. But then like when I stop and look around at like all the people at the matches, like, oh, that's no, unfortunately, I am the old guy here. There's probably like three other dudes that have been shooting as long as I have at club matches. And, you know, thankfully major matches, there's a bunch more. But yeah, the landscape changes all the time.
Yeah. But I'm glad you stuck around. There's people that we need that really are staples in the community. And so without Dave Hartman, there is no three gun.
Oh,
it's true.
Well, that was a great show. We're going to go out on a high note. Thank you for being here.
For sure.
Yeah. So I'm pumped to have you on here. Cause, you do a lot in the firearm space as far as like, content creation goes. And, It's honestly like overwhelming. It's like, I feel like I should be doing so much more when I look at like your volume of work in such a brief period of time and think like, God, how does she do it all?
Thank you. That's actually really nice to hear. The one way feedback of things that I do, I don't see the people that read my articles. I don't see the people that are listening to the podcast. I do get messages now, which it keeps you going. I'm sure you've had that where it's like, you get that one little feedback that keeps you going. But it's funny you say that though. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I still feel like I have imposter syndrome sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's exhausting though. It's like, you know, I'm killing myself. I work really hard. I should get this. And like, no, wait a second. I didn't earn that. I've been in here for 1 minute, you know?
Yeah. The imposter syndrome is, I don't think it ever goes away, really. But man, it has killed so much cool shit in this world because, like, you think, yeah, it's something I deal with all the time, like on a daily or weekly basis. Is like, you know, who am I to be putting out a video like this? There's plenty more people that know more about this particular firearm than me, or you know, Grantham always did a video. Grantham's like my go-to content source that I like to reference. But yeah, it's tough. How do you deal with that?
I probably don't do it well. I do talk to a lot of friends, right? Like I reach out and I have a good support group of friends where I get frustrated because I'm not at the next level that I want to be at because I have put in the work. But then I'm like, wait a second. I feel embarrassed sometimes where it's like, okay, who am I to teach? I'm not a GM level shooter. I never will be. That's not where I focus on. Like I shoot so many sports, so many guns. But at the same time, like those GM level shooters, I don't see a lot of them teaching, giving back, ROing. I don't see a lot of them that can teach. Like I've even tried to learn from a couple of them and they physically don't know how to teach someone or explain a concept. Yes. So then I'm like, that's where my value is. So I don't think I'm ever going to get over that imposter syndrome, but it does help to check myself every now and then with like a friend or someone else in the industry. Like, what am I doing? What do I need to do more of? And they're like, dude, you need to rest. Like, what is that? When you ask that, it's like, this is my go-to line. I'm like, single, no kids. And that's all I say. And people are like, oh yeah, there's a lot of time there. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I hear about it in like every sort of area. Right. And the thing is, like, if you don't put yourself out there and like, whether that is like you're worried about teaching or you're worried about content creation or whatever it is, if you don't put yourself out there, no one else is going to put themselves out there. And so the world misses out on that content. Like I was so afraid to start the 3-Gun Show back when I did. I had the idea a year or two before it, and it took me a long time to finally like commit to doing it. But when I think about like all the people over the years that have been on the show or listened to the show, the amount of change that I've been able to influence in the industry and stuff, it really is gratifying. But on the day to day, it's hard to see the impact that you make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the shout out that I would give is just, there are people that tell me like, oh my gosh, I just found your podcast. I'm listening to it forward and back. Or these companies, I went to EOTech recently, actually up in Michigan. And I saw my cover with like their optic on it and the gun I wrote about. And I see those in glass casings now at NRA, like DSI had their cover of their rifle that I reviewed on. Like it does make an impact on a different level. I feel like I'm more behind the scenes. Like I do see the famous people or I don't know if you've ever gotten this where you probably have. It's like, Dave, you got to hang out with Jerry Michalik. Be like, how about Jerry got to hang out with Dave Hartman? Like that's where I want to get to, where people are like, you hung out, how do you know Brandon and Cody? And I'm like, how about they know me? Come on now, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, but I mean, Jerry's a freaking goat. So it's always you get to hang out with Jerry. It's never the opposite.
That's fair. That one's a bad example. Use any other name. That one's fair.
Well, so, okay. I want to know, like, I'm always interested in like the origin story, like where everything started. So when did you get into shooting in general? And then when did that turn into like competitive shooting?
Yeah. So I grew up, it's funny, we talked about Alabama on the show, lower Alabama, Pensacola, Florida. So I grew up in the redneck swamps, but both my grandpa, it's true, both my grandpas were really into different types of shooting. So my dad's dad, actually, it was the case of shooting cans with revolvers off a log. And that was my experience. I remember that still. And then my other grandpa would take us duck hunting. And I swear to God, Dave, I don't think I've ever hit a duck in my life. When I think back to those days, we would shoot the shotguns out of a blind. We'd have my dad, my grandpa, my brother and I. And my grandpa would be like, good shot, Kenzie, you got it. And I was like, looking back now, right? I'm like, he lied to me for like 7 years. He lied and lied and lied. But thank you, grandpa. So the hunting really was just so fun. It was something that all of us did like over Christmas or summers or what have you. And then it was years before I picked up a gun again. So I was probably like 12 when I stopped really shooting. And then when I went to college, I was just curious about firearms. Didn't know enough about handguns. Never had even heard of competition shooting at the time. And I Googled, which was a dumb Google, but Florida State University and firearms. A lot of cases came up, but there was a lot of news.
A lot of Florida man stuff.
Uh-huh. But they had this cool Florida State Rifle Association is what it was called. And there's two, it was like a student organization, but there's two clubs under that. It was the rifle team and then like the pistol team. And I don't know if I would have done this if I thought about it now. At the time, there was a female like president in charge of that student organization. And so I reached out to her, told her I was interested in shooting, didn't have any guns of my own. I think I was 22 or 3, something like that. And she welcomed me out to the local range. Went out there, shot a little bit, and she encouraged me to come try out. I'm like, what am I doing trying out for a pistol team? goodness. But I feel like females are like this. We're more prone to learning more. We don't really have an ego, and like we just have these like better analytical minds. So I shot really well. I made the team, and I shot on like the SAS, which was like the Scholastic Action Shooting Pistol Team, with rimfire. And it was like the day before this major match that we were shooting at Talon Range in Tallahassee. And they're like, by the way, we're bumping you up into center fire, which means you can never go back to rim fire. You're shooting a Beretta or sponsored by Beretta. Good luck. And I'm like, cool. full send into the deep end. And I was like, that's great. But I shot that. I shot like Steel Challenge, like local club matches. And then it was a whirlwind of accidental things like happening where I happened to be at the range teaching somebody else for fun. And there was a cowboy action club like match going on at the range. And I went over to the old Wild West and they're all get up. And I'm like, what is happening? but some really kind man that I just adore too, let me shoot all three of his guns on a stage. And me being the competitive nature that I am, he's like, oh yeah, just shoot whatever. And I was like, no. How do you shoot a stage in cowboy action? There's a sequence and stuff. So I'm mowing down targets and then I get to the shotgun and that's my world. So I'm knocking down these targets. And I remember a couple cowgirl ladies afterwards were like, have you shot this before? And I was like, never in my life. And they're like, why are you better than I am with my own guns? Like, it was just fun. Talon hosted a 3-gun match, and you could talk about that painful experience of running an iron sight rifle out to 400 yards and a plug shotgun with no like work on the lifter or, oh my god, none of that. It was awesome though. Like, I still look back, I'm like, that was the most fun I've ever had. So it was just opportunity after another match. I mean, if that range hadn't have done so much that they did with events and those clubs hadn't been there, I don't know if I would end up here. But I was full send, gonna go nuts. Dad didn't believe me. We're like, I started on the pistol club, sign up for a Glock match like the next weekend. He's like, are you nuts? I'm like, no, I'm excited.
Yeah. So did you get a cool nickname by the cowboy people?
Oh, so you had to like name yourself, and I guess I was lame because I don't understand how the naming conventions worked. I submitted two options, and I'm Maverick Fitzpatrick because that's my last name, which is not as cool as I wanted to be. MF Judge, because my initials, Dave, are MMF or MF for short, and they're like, you can't have that for obvious like mofo reasons. And I was like, but those are my initials, and yeah, they made me go with Maverick. Fine.
Oh man.
Fine. That would have been cool.
I used to work with a guy named Matt, and he had the last name that started with an F. And this was at Lockheed, and we used to call him MF, which was awesome. But we got a lot of feedback from calling him that in meetings with like customers. So we'd be like with people on programs or people from NASA or something, and you're like, you can't call him MF. I'm like, but that's his name.
Yep. That was the experience. So I got my SAS. Yeah, I won belt buckles, Dave. Believe it or not.
No,
I was
kidding.
Like, hi, cowgirl. And it was funny because my range owners, I did their marketing for 7 years, and I know we can dive into that, but I did their marketing for so long and just kept shooting that I remember one day one of the owners, because they shot cowboys since they were like in their 20s. When did Kenzie get so good at shooting? And I mean, I was mediocre at the time, but I look at some of these stages I ran with lever action and all that, and they're like, well, she's been shooting everything. And like, coming out here, learning how to shoot, training and practicing and just enjoying it. So it was a nice compliment.
Huh. Well, that's pretty cool. Did you go to school for marketing? Or
I did.
You just, okay.
I did. Yeah.
So it was like a natural transition to run the ranges marketing.
Yeah. And it was one of those things, again, accidental, I think entrepreneur, accidental in this industry, because I had gone to undergrad for IT, originally in engineering, like love math, love all of that. And then I'm not built for engineering life of not talking to humans. clearly. So my master's degree. And
you had to have been like the one engineer that everybody knew.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Very social creature. I was the one that like we would do like building circuit boards or whatever it was, and it would be like 10 times what the next group made, because I'm like, let's go, guys. Here's what we're doing, and this is the energy level, and we would win. It's true. And then my master's degree was this is like weird when I think about the lives that I've lived, is like I did marketing, but I was in sports marketing. I had a scholarship for some of those classes. I did the marketing for Florida State Seminole football. Like I was in the skybox, like 20 years old, doing the social media posts or the basketball games, running around, throwing out t-shirts and taking photos. And it was so fun. Like, so I was always in this like sports, I don't look it, but I was very athletic, sports world. I used to surf a lot. So I would go out to the US Open of Surfing in California every year. I would be in the Red Bull tent. Like, I have a really weird background in life. And then the whole thing with like marketing was I asked the range, I was like, y'all aren't posting anything. You're a newer range. Like, let me do it. I live on this range basically anyways. And for 7 years, I ended up just doing their marketing and doing their emails. And they have a podcast and just all the things that made sense at the time. And now they're huge. They bought Dothan Gun Club, and now it's like Talon Range of Dothan. They've got their outfitter store. I mean, they exponentially grew. So
crazy. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's so outside of like my experience with ranges that they would ever think of like doing anything social or a useful email. Usually it's like just weird notes in the bathroom of like, we're having a barbecue. Like, don't say when or where, please.
Yeah. I mean, those there's two co-owners there, JD and Charlie, and they've just been really phenomenal to work with over the years. So recently, because I haven't lived in Tallahassee in, I don't know, 6 years or so. So like they took it back internally whenever it just wasn't working out on me not being there for the content stuff. So still love them. If I ever go back, I again, just kind of make myself at home, be like, hi guys.
Hey, I'm going to take over again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So having that experience in like actual professional sports and with surfing and everything, what do you see is currently missing from the firearms marketing landscape?
That's so easy. If I think about all of the events they do with the action of capturing the drama, the live action, having the feed, responding to chats, if people are chiming in. I mean, I think about like the rally cars that they do, or even like Red Bull surf events. Those are live streamed from wherever they are in out of different countries, right? So how do we make action shooting sports like interesting? Like I've talked about this recently with like looking at Joe Farwell's content. He's got an awesome team though, putting out really high quality content with drone footage and interviews, and you hear Joe laughing and telling stories, and like that stuff's capturing, you know, I'm stopping scrolling and I'm watching that. And Josh Freilich, like I talked to him at AK Masters, the content he puts out, every time I stop, because it's so cinematography, whatever. I can't say the
cinematastic
word. Cinematastic. And he makes action shooting look really cool and interesting. And he has a full team. I think he has like 30 editors or something. I don't have that.
30?
He has a lot of people.
Is that a real number?
He has a lot of people on his team. Like he talked about, he's making 100 or 300, again, my numbers are wrong, a month, like pieces of content for clients. It's a huge, huge like production team all over the country too.
Yeah. I mean, he started a production company basically, and, you know, took that instead of like the shooter route, which, you know, makes a lot of sense.
Well, and then when he did like USPSA Carry Optics Nationals, I think it was last year, maybe, they did the interviews with the shooters. Like, how are you feeling after day one? What was like your mindset going in to the stage, and showed their stage performance and and actually getting behind the scenes of what, I mean, we are athletes at some level, right? What behind these pro shooters are at the top of the list, going through their head, shooting with the top dogs over 3 days. Like that stuff's so interesting. But if you're not there, why care? Why? Yeah.
Well, my question is, where's that stuff now? Like, where did it go? Was it on Instagram?
Oh, yeah, it was on the USPSA Instagram, and they still post some of that. It's on their Facebook as well, but they live streamed, and then they still have those production videos. So when you go to their reels, like that's all Josh's content, like creator work.
But you got to go like search reels, right? So we had a conversation on your podcast about like how Instagram, the content doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Very long. There's no like, maybe I'm wrong, But is there a place you can go on USPSA's website to go rewatch this content?
No, and that's where, like, if you think about even F1, right, and Netflix and all the series that they do, there's no historic preservation of what's happening at the time they're shooting sports. Because I even think about, like, what John Whitehead's done with his career is, like, people still don't know his name. And I'm like, oh, my God, this kid has killed people and shoot, like, so good. Like, I mean, talking about crushed people and shooting. That's wrong words. And then, like, AMU, and, like, he's beating people astronomically that will never be able to catch up with him. It would be neat to see, like, those stories kind of captured in time to look back if it is a YouTube channel or Rumble or a website.
I've talked about that with a friend of mine that does content in the rock climbing space. And that seems like a tough nut to crack because of, like, the Army marksmanship unit portion of it.
Right.
There's a lot more content now, but it used to be that someone would go to the AMU and you'd never hear from them again unless you were at a match. There was nothing. There was no social media content. AMU didn't put out social media content. It was just like, oh, I guess he's practicing because he crushes it every match.
Yeah.
But I think that, I don't know if it's like the Army marketing department or if it's just like whomever is in that role right now, but they're actually doing like a much better job than they used to in the past. But you're right. Like there's gotta be like a bigger, longer story to tell.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cause some of the rivalries I think about is like, even with the junior shooters coming up and like, think about like World Pistol Shoot, what an opportunity that would have been with like Morgan winning and those females taking their medal as a team. And what is that? This Olympic style stuff for us, right? This is a big deal for us. It might be small. It might not be as looked on as important, right? But this is the highest level of competition for our world. Mm-hmm. So why are we not sending a media company to capture all of this and tell our own documentary series, pitch it to, I don't know, Amazon, Netflix? Like, I don't know what that looks like truly, but like, that's where I would watch the stuff out of that. Cause we know, you and I know, I don't think we're ever going to see anything gun related ever on TV ever again. There's no more Top Shot. There's no more Instagram stuff that's going to be going viral. Like, you're going to have to search and find this. But these big organizations where people know USPSA exists or IPSC or whatever, those are the leaders that should be creating and pushing this stuff out for time.
How do you pay for that?
I guess in sponsorships and revenues. You know, I don't know if that's the traditional sense like other companies we've talked about, but they're is revenue to make after investing into YouTube. Or I know I've heard a lot about like Rumble coming out with like paid and monetization, but at some point you hit some level in YouTube and you're going to get paid for that content, but playing the game, building that up first. Yeah.
I think telling a company that like eventually YouTube is going to pay you for that is so foreign to anyone inside the firearms industry.
Yeah.
But I see it a lot in the automotive industry. For example, there's this company that I like to watch their content, their Motion Raceworks, and they make like race car parts, right? Mm-hmm. And not them specifically, but if you look at like their numbers and the revenue that they could or do make from the views that they have, like that covers their whole marketing budget. Mm-hmm. So like it's interesting. The time that we live in now, because like when I went to marketing school, we were talking about billboards and magazines, like literally billboards. And when you wanted to price something, you had to go down to the library and grab a book and then look up the little number. You're like, oh, it's this size. I'm going to have it for this many months and it's at this location.
Yep.
And then you can estimate it from there. So I think most companies in like most mid-sized to bigger companies feel like marketing is an expense where there's, I'm sorry.
Investment is what it is, but yeah. Well,
I was going to say that it can be a zero cost and it's all in how you do it. And if you do it right, and if you get the right people in place, right. And it's tough to do that, right. Because creating something interesting and organic from scratch, especially within a company, that's tough. Right. Because like you're recruiting for positions that don't necessarily exist in the wild. Right. Like you're creating whole new positions. Like I need a content creator. Like one thing I always think of, and you can probably relate to this and give me your experience on it, is like I see a lot of companies like they want to hire a social media marketer. Right. Or a social media manager. How about that?
OK.
And we want you to run Twitter. We want you to run Facebook and Instagram. And also do some TikToks And then we want to stand up a YouTube channel too. And then like whatever else comes along with that. Also, we're not going to give you any resources. So use your own cell phone and we're going to pay you $33,000 and it's 2023. Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Like there's so much required of social media people. And I think companies like savvy companies have understood, like there needs to be a podcast team. There needs to be a YouTube team. There needs to be an Instagram either person or team, right? And that's like your spokesperson type thing. Whereas like I think people are missing that. But so you tell me, like you're in the firearms marketing space right now. Like, are you finding the same thing? Like you're being asked to do 13 different roles with a cell phone?
Oh yeah. And they don't like the price tag if I do, because I do say no a lot more than I've ever said no before in my life. I only work in the firearms space now. And like with all of the content creation, when I lay it out, like what it looks like, where if I need their face, their voice, their like time and access to machines, if it's manufacturing, whatever, they're like, oh, it's like a full-time job. I'm like, more than a full-time job. And that's just content creation. So like, if you want me to post, cool, but all this content, I'm going to tell you, this is what you're going to have to like provide me just to make posts. Right. And they're like, we don't have time for that. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, that's part of owning the business. That's part of that. So I've put a price tag on like content creation alone. And that means sending me gear or sending me to the factory, whatever that looks like, to capture that. And we've done that in, you know, 2-3 days in short trips. And that content lasts maybe a few months. Like some of it's going to be evergreen for sure, but like it's going to be outdated and gone, and you need to create fresh content, new content. I'm working with better companies, I would say, now that understand how much work it goes into it, because the other stuff is not all having it from internal or from me or what have you, where let's get our shooters. If we're going to do sponsored shooters or if we're paying for slots, like they're giving us content, photos, videos. We pay monthly contracts. I mean, not me, but like the companies that I work with, where they're paying content creators, giving them reels, giving them photos, like a set quota every month. So that way we can have different original content. And that's worth, God, every penny is worth it when you have these really high level photographers and videographers in different places creating that content for us too. So working with those creative minds is really important too. And a lot of companies don't like hiring outside of their internal team, period. Mm-hmm. And none of those people, well, I know we talked about it, but none of those people shoot. None of them hunt. None of them actually know what they're talking about. So that comes across in their content as well. And that's the terrifying thing in the firearm space, in my opinion, is like, you really do need to have someone that knows guns, whether it's in the imagery or the caption or whatever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, so top to bottom, right? I worked with an outside marketing company when I used to work at a rifle company, and the stuff that they would come up with was like, this is not a toaster. You can't hold it like that. You can't, you know, you can't aim it at someone. You can't stand in front of it. Like, what in the F are you doing?
Yep.
And, you know, obviously I didn't talk to them like that. It was like, I would educate them on it, but, the fact that we're talking about like something dangerous just never crossed their mind. You know, it's like, how does this look to an outside person when you're standing in front of the muzzle? Like that's yeah.
Yeah. I've but even those had are
the type of things that you got to pay for, right?
Yeah. You need to be paying for. And I'm not glad at this, but like, I'm sort of glad that our industry sort of like checks ourselves when it comes to like gun safety, because it is something that is important, because if we're portraying it or we're showing that, then other people are going to do it, whether we say them not to do it or not. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, is the finger on the trigger for XYZ? Is there somebody else downrange and this person's handling a gun or whatever it looks like? Like, you have to have that in your content as well. And like, that's the stuff where an untrained eye or someone who doesn't know guns, they're not going to have a clue to look for those things that really are important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where those jobs aren't as, I think, easy to get in the firearms industry. I mean, they're easy to get, right? But they shouldn't be easier to get without the qualifications of knowing guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've seen those companies.
For sure. For sure, we've seen those companies. But I feel like if, and, you know, I always, I don't know, I try not to discourage people from stuff. Sure. And, you know, you want to be like inclusive and everything. But at the end of the day, like if you're going to hire someone who's in charge of showing that messaging to your customers, then you need to take that person to the range.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't, I mean, if you're in the firearm space, somebody's got a gun and you can go and take them to the range and show them like, hey, you can stand here. You can't stand here. We don't put our finger on the trigger. This is what it feels like, and get them some sort of experience in it.
Yeah.
And I find like a lot of times, like, you know, God, it'd be like, I don't even know how to draw an analogy, but like, I wouldn't go and feel comfortable demonstrating a table saw for someone. How about that?
You know, I like, would prefer not do that.
No, I mean, you'd be terrible. You'd probably cut your finger off for sure. I just saw you knock over your microphone.
I was like, I for sure.
Yeah. After hearing the e-bike story and then watching you knock over your microphone. Yeah. I think you should stay away from table saws for sure.
See my toe that sliced open off of a cabinet a couple weeks ago in my own house.
Oh, so
it's really cool. It's really cool living my life. But, but to your point, like, I worked with, and it was great. Like, I worked with a company that really knew their firearms, and that's awesome. Dude, when they went to film, they put the scope on completely backwards, mounted backwards, scope backwards. And I was like, all right, so even knowing your gun stuff is not enough to, when it's like, you, if you post that or have that out there, you are going to be the laughingstock of the century. Yeah. That could cost millions in revenue, especially for the people that do know firearms, at least in general. It's like cringe.
Yeah.
Cringe.
Well, because those go everywhere, right? People screen cap it and stuff. Who was that guy? Was it Mike something? Is it Glower? Is that
Mike Glover? Mike Glover.
Glover. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he had a video that had the thing on backwards, and his producer like claimed like, "Oh, we did that for engagement." Like, yeah, buddy, you don't know this industry.
So. He also did a video, and you can still find it, of literally dedicating the world to tell people that you carry with full metal jackets. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't find his content interesting, but there are a lot of people that have been lured in by it.
Little bit. And he just produced a book. So there's several people that I don't love, right? Especially representing my world, that are not good leaders and examples. And yet they have this cult following, is what I'll call it, for sure. And I've given them the benefit of the doubt, and I've tried to like read their books. I'm a reader, so like that's fun for me. But I'm like doing my research, and I'm like, God, you're a piece of crap. Like I don't know how like companies would like really truly work with you, or if they're in fear of not working with you in a way too, where those aren't the good people either, bringing people into that world. That's terrifying to think about, that knowledge, because there are people that listen to that and they'll never hear anything otherwise. And so that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. There's a very low bar for vetting when it comes to influencers and when it comes to other stuff. And basically you just have to use, well, from my experience, you have to use cool words like synergy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, have a PowerPoint and shit like that. And because like we were talking about in your show, there's so many people that work in the firearms industry that don't know firearms. And a lot of those people are in control budgets as well.
Yeah.
So people do business with people they like. Right. So charismatic people who may not be like the most proficient or the best shooter or whatever, charismatic people who can sell do get farther because of that reason. Right.
Yeah. Yep. God, there's so many examples, but yes.
No need to say any.
I know. No, I would never. I would never. No, it's a learning.
Write them down and tell me later.
Yeah, it's a learning process for sure.
Yeah,
it is. Frustrating. That's where like the imposter syndrome that I get comes from, is like, I see those people and they have huge following or whatever. Like, what do I know doing this? But I'm like, hold on. If I don't put it out there, I know people better than me. Not better than me, but like, better shooters, right? They're probably like, what is she doing putting out content? But they're not like that. The criticism always comes from someone below doing less than you. Always.
Yes.
Always, yeah, always.
It absolutely does. Early on, there was a lot of people that would complain about guests that I had on the Three Gun Show. They're like, well, what does that guy know? He has never won a national championship or never done this. And then it was typically not someone who wanted to learn and get better. It was from someone who had like a scarcity mindset of like, I should be on the show. It's like, bro, you can come on the show anytime you want, but there's 52 weeks in a year. We do a show every week. And
yep.
I don't know. It seemed like a lot of it was like sour grapes for sure. But
yeah,
like you said, like the You know, no one ever criticizes anyone that's doing better than that, or that's doing not as good as them.
Right.
That can come in like many aspects, and can come in like where you finish in the shooting pack, or what sponsorships you have, or what, you know, what exposure you have. There's all kinds of forms of jealousy, and none of them are pretty. So
I've been dealing with that a lot, actually, working in the industry period. But nobody sees the sweat, the blood, the tears, literally the blood.
Yeah.
But the
in your case, it's literal blood. Yeah.
Literal blood. But like, I mean, it takes really thick skin to keep going too. I think that's the other thing, and not buying in so much to the negativity or to the comments. And so like, I know a lot of content creators, if people are listening to this seriously in this podcast, and you don't think to do this because you never hear from the good, go reach out to your favorite content creator, your favorite shooter making videos, making posts, and just say like, hey, thanks for your content. Thanks for your page. You're encouraging me, inspiring me. I watch it. I learned something new. You have no idea like the breath of fresh air that it is when just even one little voice, if I'm just impacting one person, like it goes light years beyond. So don't be afraid to reach out, especially thank the photographers and the videographers.
Yeah, it's so true. The you know, when you have you ever heard of the tall poppy syndrome?
Mm-mm.
So it's like a New Zealand saying. It's like basically like in a poppy field, the tall poppy gets cut off, right?
Oh,
so,
okay.
A lot of people like to do that of someone who's putting themselves out there. And in that case, and usually it's like they would never put themselves out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like I love to, this is one of my fun little things. This is a fun little self-loathing thing I like to do. I like to go to all the shitty comments that I get on YouTube videos, and I'll go to that person's account, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll look at their content. And how many of those people do you think actually produce content?
Zero.
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 They never
100% zero.
100% zero. That's the weird thing about YouTube is like you have to have like a creator account to be on YouTube and to comment and to watch. And so everybody has like a trail, and you can always click on their little icon and you're like, oh, you ain't, I'm waiting for your video, dude.
Yep.
Tell me what you think of the Geissele Super Duty, bro.
God. Well, I also regret that decision, by the way, Dave. I decided to sign up now for 10 triggers and then the 10 muzzle brakes. So I'm like, I gotta clean all my guns now, probably, because I keep seeing the inside. I'm like, shit. But yeah, now I gotta do that project.
Oh man, so you gotta tell the story then, because that's kind of an inside joke now. But
so, I thought of a brilliant idea to really help the people out and do a top 10 triggers in the industry and then a top 10 muzzle brakes in the industry. And some like I requested from like the brands, and some get back to you, some don't, and some I just already have on hand. So my dumbass thought, I'm going to pull every trigger out and every muzzle brake. And if nobody even understands, like they're literally sitting in front of me, I have like a whole pile retiming the brakes, getting new crush washers now, because some of these are in bad shape. Mm-hmm. Please replace your crush washers if you take your muzzle brake off, pro tip. So now I pulled everything out of all of my guns. All of my rifles look naked, and I just feel like an absolute idiot. But that is what it goes to, guys. To take a group photo, beautiful group photo, and a light box on my desk, so that way you can see this beautiful piece of content with all 10 of these together.
Yeah. It takes so much work, and like people don't understand that, you know, and I don't know, but it's you can get like 10 good comments and one negative comment. And for some reason, like the human mind wants to focus on that negative comment. And maybe it's because we had to like always watch out for danger when we were monkeys, but, I don't know. Those types of things stick in your head. So I guess if you want to be a douchebag, just go put a bunch of negative comments on everybody's stuff out there, and it works really well. But I would go with Kenzie's plan and just tell your favorite content creator you like them. Yeah. And like, hey, this is a great video. If you like a video, friggin' hit that like button and tell the content creator that you enjoyed it, because it goes so far.
If it's gun related, drop a little emoji. Just put a little fire emoji, a little like full send. Like literally any engagement, you know, really helps and goes a long way. But that's been a long process of creating the content, making it valuable. And like some of this stuff really is, it's fascinating to me. I think there has to be a personality behind your content creators, especially if it's in written word. So like I've written now for so many different magazines, and I know magazines are sort of obsolete. I think they're kind of sort of still going to be there because of the suppression. Like people know these big name magazines or what have you that they can go to and get their content, because I have been posting about like the articles that are in print that are in these magazine issues. I get tagged all the time now. It just happened this week where someone picked up the new Ballistic magazine that had like six of my articles, had the cover photo for Print Shoot Repeat in it in there. And people in USPSA magazine, they're excited because they read it and they see like the story on a junior shooter that I wrote about, or if they see their kid, like I've had dads buy like six copies now for the whole family. But if we can get more people like creating content like that, that are pushing people to go support those companies, those magazines, the advertisers, and they're reading it almost because they're excited about you being excited, but they also see like, you know, what's coming out of it. Y'all wouldn't believe how much value like some of that stuff does add. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. Like the so I'm not a big magazine guy, but the I like books ironically, but I don't feel like the future of advertising is magazines if we didn't have the suppression that we do. Like if it was like a, you know, not a free for all, but like if it was free speech, how about that? If it was open as far as firearms content goes, I don't feel like the magazines would still be around. I think the, you know, the exception or the one you talked about, and then of course Ballistic, and then of course Recoil, those are like more modern type. But if you pick up like a, you don't write for guns and ammo, do you?
No.
Okay. I'm going to shit on them real quick. So if you pick up Guns and Ammo, like it is the most like milk toastiest, weirdest article ever. Like, dude, you literally wrote the spec sheet in prose right here. And that in and of itself is a talent. Like I can't do that. So I don't know why I'm like bagging on that guy for it, but it is so weird that is a thing. And it's just, it's just repurposed spec sheets. It's like, my God, there's not even like any like true opinions in here. That's right. What I mean by milk toast is there's no like thumbs up, thumbs down. It's great. You know, there's no emotion whatsoever. It's just a spec sheet. It's kind
of
weird.
Someone recently read one of my articles though, and this was a huge compliment. And he goes, when I read your articles, I can literally hear your voice, like as if you're talking to me. Cause I do write stuff like, not curse words, but just like, shit you not, like this is fantastic. Or if like, well, lo and behold, and I do like those funny sentences where it's like, trust me, I have learned the hard way. And it's really comical, but people can see like my voice coming across in that. And that's the fun part, right? Is like, for me, is like, I write how I talk almost. So it is kind of fun of like the storytelling or like how I've learned the hard way. So do you want to learn the easy way or you just ignore this, you know? Yeah.
Have you always written? Because I find it so hard to write stuff. Like when I'm just writing like a description for the show, it's like, it's like, just listen to it, man. You'll understand.
So I have a fun background actually on that. My dad is one of the best writers. He doesn't have anything published or anything like that. But he would write a Christmas card to every family member, and it would be 4 pages long of his like hysterical comedy of our entire shenanigans as a family. And he will write like, we do, okay, we're very Irish people. Fitzpatrick's, we got Sean's,
Mackenzie Connors. Fitzpatrick is Irish. Weird.
Very. So we have an annual St. Patrick's Day party where he sends an actual like written poem invite with like a hidden message in it. I'm not kidding, on letterhead. Sends us out, and then and it's so funny. And then he works at the VA, so he has a great sense of personality and humor. And when they send out these mandates from the government, which he loves because he's a gun guy, but he sent, and the masks, I can't even tell you, the emails that he sent to everyone, but not his bosses. I don't know how my dad's not fired. Love you, Dad, if you're listening. I'm like, his humor is fantastic. So this writing, I always grew up with that. He always read to me. Like, he would do voices for The Hobbit. So he'd do Schmeagol and Smaug. Like, again, my dad is just, he's got a huge impact on me. So me growing up like that, I would write and journal. And then, like, I want to write a book one day. That's on my, like, my podcast was my thing where, like, I made it happen. And, like, when I'm ready to do the book, book's going to happen. So I started writing, like, kind of in college a little bit. And I started writing accidentally with firearms with Widener's. So I found Upwork, which is like a freelancing platform. And I was like, look, I don't have any portfolio, I don't have any examples, but I really like to write. And this is what I'm passionate about. And I can like proved you that. So now 5 years later, still writing for them. Now I'm in Blue Press Magazine, USPSA, Ballistic, Combat Handguns, Tactical Life, you name it. And I'm just really having a lot of fun with it. So the digital world is helpful too, like on the affiliate marketing stuff. So I do a lot of digital pieces where like we can get revenue off of affiliates. There's so many programs now with like AvantLink. So if companies can't use, you know, traditional paid advertisement, they can go in AvantLink and work with people like me or YouTubers or whatever. And we were making sales with the commission links and getting a kickback that way. So there's a lot of ways to do it. But the writing, again, was sort of like a trial, error, accident, and learn. And now absolutely love it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I didn't plan any of this. It's like 0.0% of
my life. Really? You're just kind of winging it?
Yeah. I have no idea like how I'm here. Like, I mean, people don't do this enough. Like people that are in our industry don't think about where they are, where they came from, or like how unrealistic it is for some people that'll never be able to do what we do. Right. So for me, yeah. I'm like, I'm at EO Tech for the day. I'm touring IWI next week. Is this real? Is this real? Like I'm invited and talk to the CEO of Volkortson all the time. And like, I don't take that for granted because this is literally a dream of mine, but I mean, that's a lot of responsibility too, to work with those higher companies and names where you're like, oh, I have a little bit of weight on my shoulders too.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be driven to do those things.
Hmm. Interesting. So when someone asks like, okay, if you meet someone that's not in the firearm space, not at a match or whatever, just like grocery store or whatever, and they're like, oh, what do you do? What do you tell them?
I avoid firearms if I really don't feel comfortable with letting them know that, but I do work in a space that has nothing to do with firearms. And I just say like, hey, like I'm actually in the gun industry. I'm a writer. I own a marketing firm in the industry and then I'm a professional shooter. That's what I tell them.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Okay.
Yep. Some of it comes up. Some of it doesn't. Some go insane into their own stories, you know?
Oh, my grandpa had a gun. Cool. I saw it once.
Or no, it's worse. I inherit it and it just sits in the safe. It's like 10 grand gun, probably. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know.
Still to have that. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
It sparks a lot of conversation when I kind of mention like firearms industry, like, and I just tell them like, hey, I don't want to be controversial. Don't know your views. This is my world. It's more on the educational, not the political side. Cause that is something that I don't know why, but I'm just more sensitive to, cause I still get paid by companies that aren't in the gun world. And I'm like, I don't want to make an enemy of anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I just tell people I work in marketing and that's usually boring enough to where people stop asking. So
you gotta be interesting. Come on, Dave.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like dancing for people anymore. I don't want to have those awkward conversations. Like I'm not the evangelist of like, let me give you 13 reasons why we should all have firearms. Like yeah. I firmly believe in that, but I'm so over having conversations about it. Like I don't want to even broach it. So,
yeah.
I say I'm in marketing. And then if they press further, I just say like, oh, you know, some sporting goods companies. And then, and then if that gets their ire, then I'm like, all right, here
right.
we go.
Right.
So, yeah, I tend to only associate, especially since I live in Wyoming, though, I tend to only associate with like gun-friendly people. So
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily come up that much.
Yeah, yeah. No, mine's all over the place. I did on purpose this time, but I have stickers all over my laptop. I do not care anymore. So when I open that at the airport, I've had a good conversation with someone at the airport. And I have like laptop body, like armor. So I have a case with that. And I went to a super not fun state for a different contract role. And this older lady that works at the university was like, hey, what is that? I'm like, this is armor with your laptop that can protect you in a backpack. And she looked it up. And so my gun industry kind of crossed over where people are still wanting to protect themselves. Yeah. I'm like, that is a legitimate concern because I've worked at Florida State University. I couldn't have a gun on campus. I couldn't mm-hmm. still carry with permit. So I've been there and I'm like, this is my defense. Right. So.
Got it. I got you. So,
you've been prepper too, so I don't know.
Yeah I practice the gray man sort of thing. Yeah. I'm wearing an Isotune shirt today, but like they also make ear pro for table saws, so
right there. Yeah
there you go. So I guess it seems like you've always been in like the marketing arena, right? Like there was never any sort of like transition. Like you just kind of, I get, what am I trying to say? Like, endemic
made my own path there.
Well, yeah, made your own path for sure. But I don't feel like it's transition. It just feels like you've just constantly been working up. So whereas you feel like, I'm so lucky to have been there. The story you just told me is like a ton of years of working and hacking away at it and putting in the hard work on it. Right.
Yeah. I look at you, I guess, and I see, and I don't know this is true, right? Like, I just perceive like the success that you've had and the level that you're at for, again, I go back and forth on imposter syndrome and then frustrated mm-hmm. by 10 years of overnight success, right? Or whatever it looks like, where I've known my whole life. Like, I want a big life. I want to set an example. I want to be known, but I'm still not there. Like, and does it ever pay off? It might not, Dave. It could mm-hmm. very well not, right? And so, like, for me, this is all I want to do. So it's not something I want to quit on. It's just something that it gets harder the further up you go, where there's just more slow progress, I would say.
Yeah. 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 That's for sure. It's like weightlifting, right? Like, you make your biggest gains when you first start, and then like it's tough to PR every time after that, you know, after the first year. Okay. So we're talking like magazine writing, you do social media for other companies. You've got a podcast, you've got a YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook. Where am I missing here?
I was trying to think
about you on Twitter.
I need to get back on Twitter. I used to be on Twitter all the time. It's like my favorite platform. It's how I met Fad Castle, which is Alan Richardson from Blue Mountain State. It's my truck. His name Fad. So I still have those tweets saved. What I do as well, which is kind of different, and I started this on this year, is that I do work with big companies that are looking for influencers, ambassadors, shooters to collaborate with in terms of if they need gear and maybe they're at the smaller tier level, or if they have a big following and they want to do affiliate, you know, commission sales, or if they are of that higher value, whether they have huge following or not, like if they're providing content or if they're posting often and it's really engaging. Then we look to them to pay them a monthly, you know, something and give them gear as well for their channels. So I'm a connector. I probably really am. I'm very social. I know a lot of people. And if I don't, I probably know someone who does. So I work in this world where like I'm shooting PRS, three gun, USPSA, you name it. And in all these different worlds. So like, it's been really fun for me to work with some of these bigger name brands and be able to like partner up with the creators, the people that are really creating stuff and building stuff. So I don't really talk about that a lot because I know people will be like, hit me up to get free stuff, yo. and I've had that. People are like, why do you send him stuff and not me? I'm like, well, here's the truth, is this is where you're at with your social or your content or whatever that looks like. And I'm sorry, but I can't even vouch for that and put my name on it. So that's a big thing too for me, is like, I'm very trusted by these organizations to find the right people mm-hmm. to put their content out. Yeah.
So anything else? Do you do your own lawn care or anything like that?
I fucking hate, sorry. Oh my God, but I hate mowing my lawn. Do you see that yet on my Instagram?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I was just trying to make a joke.
This is not a joke. The world knows, because I have like an acre. I have a push mower. I finally got one of those. I don't know what it's called, but I call it a semi-auto push mower. And I invested in it, and like, it's so much faster. But then the lawnmower didn't work and I was operating it wrong. And honestly, people know that I hate mowing my lawn more than anything in the world. And you know what? I'm not a big into gender roles, but if I had a dude, that's their job. When that comes about, I am never mowing the lawn again, or we're having AstroTurf one day. But I do my own lawn care. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. So no lawn care.
Like,
so
the perfect like little trigger in my head. I'm like, yes. Know,
holy shit.
There's a whole story.
So I guess the reason I'm trying to get like a picture of like all the things you do uh-huh. is I want to ask, like, what is your favorite thing of all those? And then what do you feel like you want to do more of?
Yeah.
Of like all nine of those. So we know that it's not lawn care. We know that. So what's the favorite? What do you do? What do you want to do more of?
What I want to do more of, and this was really cool experience, is like, I got consulted by C-suite level and engineers at a company to give product feedback and insights and understanding to why people use certain products or certain features. I felt bad for them. It was like 2 hours of me throwing up all of the stuff that's in my head, because I've done it for so long, or I've tried it, I've tested it, I've used it. And then I drew pictures on a whiteboard. So like, if more companies would consult, many do, But if more companies would consult with people that are the 0.001% of users like I am before launching a product, of what features, what size, what battery, what, I don't know, controls do they want, right? If they just ask the people that really use it, they're going to be the best people to provide feedback. And I don't know what that looks like in terms of how to go about it. Like, I was just stoked to be in the room this time at the table with people listening and like, holy cow. That's a dream for sure, is working with companies and like the product development. Cause I funnily enough, have experience in that. And then the favorite stuff that I don't believe is real is still the writing, where most of it is I get to choose what I write on. I get to pick the topics. Like, I get to put myself into taking off 10 muzzle breaks. But like, I'm writing an article about hog hunting. And so I get to sort of pay off the hog hunting trip. Still got to work with a company, go to a, like an elite ranch level, kill an animal. I didn't have to like, you know, pay for a tag or the property, or, I mean, that's a dream come true, is like, I'm literally getting paid to write about an experience that I would have paid for, right? It's just unbelievable. So like, more of those experiences where I'm just getting to write about what I love to do and like life is the high that I need to keep going. Cause some of it really is work and it's still not easy. Right. But like, that is, I laugh. That's a job. What? Yeah.
So if you want to do more writing, do you feel like the podcast, the YouTube is taking away from writing?
YouTube is for sure going to be a nightmare. I've seen myself like where they ask for like more titles, one of the companies I write for. And I'm like, let me finish what's on my plate. Cause I've got three I need to do. And I don't feel like I want to get five more work orders without really knowing where I'm at, because I'm still shooting. I leave this Friday for like 10 days for Pennsylvania. Like, I mean, it is overwhelming, where I know my level expectations. Like, I'm not going to miss deadlines. I'm not going to sleep at night if I'm behind. So the YouTube, though, it's a give and take, right? Is like the writing's great, but it's like one-off jobs, right? And how YouTube is passive income, or I've seen that on the walls where it's like, I could be doing this. And truly to have, I don't think there's one out there, that I'm sure there is in your mind, but is there a lot of females that are hunting, shooting, competing, knowledgeable about products? Like, I'm an armorer, like I build my own guns, like I'm so into this, that's out there producing really helpful educational content. I don't know that a lot of men are going to want to listen to me, but there are females that I can cater to that might be a little bit more comfortable for them to come to that channel rather than this tactical military, like we've talked about too, that's really intimidating with that all the gear and all the Molly. Like, I don't even own a piece of Molly. No offense.
I don't use that. It's
no,
awesome.
No, I'm not. So well, YouTube, I think, is going to take from that.
I definitely think that's like a unique selling proposition for sure, and something you should definitely lean into. But what I'm trying to get at is like, you do so many different things. Like, do you feel like you're doing all of them as much as you want to be doing? Or is there something that you're like, I would be okay dropping that and putting that effort into writing or into YouTube or into lawn care or whatever it is?
Yeah. I mean, I would love to drop my one contract role. I do love it. This great position I've had for years, and I've done it for so long, and I'm passionate about it, but it takes away energy, big time energy, out of just sucking the life out of me, because it's more of a job. That I do see that could be into YouTube. So if, and I know like how you've done it, where it's like, I got to work at night, weekends, I still got to do my main job, but if I can build my YouTube, and I'm willing to do that, that's the thing. I'm willing to do a YouTube for like a whole year, do like 100 videos and see where it goes. If it doesn't go anywhere, then cool, I tried, right? But if it does, then like, maybe I can start quitting the time that is taking away from that like creativity. It sounds bad, but like maybe cut down on some of the matches I do just a little.
Yeah.
Because there's too many of them. And no offense to that, like they're not adding value as much as they're taking away time right now.
Yeah.
It's
a time and money suck for sure. And just to be like straight, the content is only good for the people the content's good for. And that's a very small niche, unfortunately. You're talking about like maybe 50,000 people in the entire US.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, and I've seen that writing on the wall, and people kind of ask like, why aren't you going to this or this? I'm like, it doesn't add value to me right now in my life. And I've paid for all that. And so many people just see life and they're like, oh, you don't have to pay for anything. I'm like, oh boy, if you saw the expenses I have for investing in myself, like Blade Show, NRA, like hotel, gas, food, all that's on me, but it's worth it to me.
So. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't think people really understand that. How an entrepreneur operates, you know, like everything has to be kind of leaning toward like the revenue. Whereas most people just can like hit control, delete, enter and walk off at the end of the day, you know, and they're going to still get that paycheck. Whereas like, and then they have like fun money, you know, they can go and do whatever. Yep. Whereas like an entrepreneur, I guess, especially when you're like building, you have to like be really smart about where you spend your time and your money.
Yeah.
Which I guess is like the reason for my whole line of questioning here.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, and we get paid differently. it's in after you complete a job, or it's in a monthly stipend or whatever. And then you got to, half my life is hunting down the money to get paid sometimes. Like that's been like the headache. But you know, budgeting is so different when you know your fixed costs, but then other stuff changes. Guys, it is a full-time job being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I would have paid more attention in accounting for sure.
Oh, me too. I wish I was an accountant, period. Like, it was just, yeah. Like, that would have been helpful when I think about degrees. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not real good at math. I do not find any sort of joy in math at all. And I wish someone had told me, like, you know, shooting guns was all about math. Like, when I was little, I probably would have paid attention. But, I took a couple accounting classes and like, I was definitely like learning for the grade for sure. And then like, I remember a lot of terms, but like, I got to look up like how to figure them out and everything like that. But, yeah, it's remarkable how like that all comes full circle. It's like, oh, right. That's why this was part of the business degree. I get it now.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. At the time I was just like, yeah, we'll have a department for that. It'll be fine.
Yep. Should have learned it.
Yep. Whoops. No. Oh, well.
College doesn't. I for anybody like listening to, college is not the answer. I don't think anymore. I'm so appreciative of my degree and like what I did, and I did it debt free, and I did it like where I got paid to go to school and everything else. But I mean, everything I've done is like self taught. Algorithms change constantly, especially in our world. But like some of that, yes, requires degrees. But if you want to do other stuff, go to trade school. You know, watch stuff on YouTube. Trial and error. But yeah, I don't know that I would go to college nowadays.
Yeah, like I said, did I say this in your podcast? Like I found myself like mid-career, not in my degree, and had to basically teach myself everything. Cause like, so this is like a fun story I love to tell all the time is I had a service marketing. I had a service marketing professor that I really liked, and he was teaching my senior year last semester. He was teaching an internet marketing class. I'm like, sweet. I'm going to go take that class. First day he gets up in front of us and he goes, what do you guys know? Yeah, it was 2001. Like people didn't know shit about internet marketing. There was no internet marketing. True. So like the whole thing was like basically 35 people like crowdsourcing internet marketing for this professor to create his curriculum, and then ultimately probably a book that he sold for $400, you know, textbook $400. So yeah. So like everything came after that. Like there was no, you know, MySpace or Instagram or anything like that.
Yep.
But that said, like you can learn anything, you know, like that's the great thing about, being a person is I feel like a long time ago, people like completed whatever education they had and then did the exact same thing forever.
Yep.
And maybe that's just my perception as like being a young person around adults, but I don't feel like it's that anymore. Like you have to constantly learn, evolve and figure out your own way and figure things out, especially if you want to be competitive in the market.
Yeah, no. And I feel like AI is going to change a lot of that, and the machines, that everything, the whole entire universe is 100% changing. It's a nightmare. It's hard to keep up with. And I worry about some of that. I feel like
it's a nightmare.
Like,
my thought, when you said the whole entire universe is changing and it's a nightmare, I just immediately, I go to like existential crisis. Like,
it's like the 3-gun division. Tac Ops wanted to go to modified. Dave's life is over.
Well, so that's a much smaller problem. I was thinking Jupiter's attracting comets, and they're going to smack into us. And
have you read the Terminalist series? They are very spot on. If you've read the latest, very spot on AI robot. But like I can't get into that, Dave. That's a whole show.
Have you messed around with AI at all?
Yeah, so I was gonna say the cool thing with, like, I've played with ChatGPT and some of the AI like photography stuff. They can't get some of the gun stuff right. So like I feel a little bit secure, which is good in like writing, right? So like some of these bots can get it right or get it close, or at least they can write like the historical stuff because they're compiling from all the computers, all the data that's online. But in terms of like having to explain something or understand something, I truly believe my whole heart, you cannot teach someone how to shoot a gun online. Doesn't matter if it's pictures, doesn't matter if videos, or there's a guide. You have to see how they're breathing, how their trigger pull, like what are they doing, where are they at in that whole shooting career. So I feel pretty secure in that, especially with the writing. Is like, good luck, robot, writing about anything, you know, gun related, and be passionate about it or even know what you're talking about, because it's a jumbled mess.
Yeah. I have found the same thing. I think part of what we're seeing there is the, so let me just say that I learned the same thing with ChatGPT-3. I haven't messed with 4 much at all, but I found that like it's definitely just repeating nonsensical generalities on stuff.
Yeah.
And honestly, like you could teach a pretty good class on that, because I've seen a lot of concealed carry instructors teach using those same words. The kinesthetic, you know, response. Yeah. But I think you're right. Like, have it. I think it was like woke GPT sort of sort of breeding ground kind of thing. And then once I did that, I noticed that like even like Googling things and trying to figure out like, you know, when was this pistol created or whatever, and I would see like some of the blurbs that it had in there, that it's almost like 100% bullshit of firearms information. And that's why like I've got all these firearms books behind me. And I like hang on to those because I don't feel like the information that's on the internet is correct. And man, I wonder like who's using that information and where is it going to go? And like what policies are being written on that? And like, we see like, you know, these crazy things that politicians say, like when they're talking about AR-15s and pistol braces, and maybe they just Googled it. And that's what it came up with. It's just like weird psyop bullshit.
Did you see Gatman's video?
No.
It was really funny. It's just a very short video. He's like, pop, and he's got a pistol brace in his hand. Pop, he's got a pistol. And he like smushes them together, and then pop, and then he's got like a lever action rifle, high caliber capacity. And I was like in tears. But no, I mean, I try not to joke, but if we are, or if the world uses this technology for the gun industry, then they need to hire subject matter experts to review all of that and go through it and be like, bullshit, true, no, doesn't make sense, and actually vet this kind of stuff. Not that the politician's ever going to care. They're never going to do that. But I think like in our world, yeah.
There are like AI. So I do think like AI tools are going to help me do what I do. And maybe in the 3-Gun Show or Prep and Press, whatever the hell we're doing now. definitely. So I also have marketing clients outside of what I do here, and definitely there, like that really helps, especially like for things where I'm not 100% clear on. It gives me like a launching space or a launching pad for creating something interesting.
Yeah.
I found a tool that you can run your, and this is a little bit of inside nerd baseball here, but it's nerdy for sure. But I found a tool that you can run your podcast through, and it will spit out transcriptions. And I always thought like, oh, that's really cool, because you know, you got to pay someone like what, 20 cents a word or something. But they're garbage. and then it's like, oh hey, we have this new feature, well we'll also do timestamps. And like, oh, that's fantastic, because I don't want to go back and listen to, you know, a 3-hour conversation I had and listen to all my ums and uhs and shit like that, and then go ahead and create all these things. Like, that's just extra work. And I'm not quite sure that adds a ton of value, but it would, maybe it does. And so let's try that. And then the chapters are like so off the wall, and the titles are like so off the wall. And then you got to teach it all the words.
Yeah.
Like I had to teach it 2011 and USPSA, and like it just keeps going and going and going. And in the episode I did with Kevin Harrington and Adam Maxwell about USPSA multi-gun Nats, I fed it through there, and then it writes a bio on each of the guests, right? I'll send you the one that's going to write about you. But it was so off the wall wrong about everything for AMAX. And then I never heard back from Kevin, but
that's awesome. But
it was so wrong. It's like, dude, we listen to the same piece of content. How did you get that? You know, yeah. It's almost like talking to, you know, your weird cousin at Thanksgiving. It's like, did we hear the same conversation?
Nope. I transcribe that so differently in my head, but that's the power of words, language, listening, and perspective from other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's quite there yet. I hope it's learning, but,
I hope it's not learning. Are you joking? you're thinking wrong. Think long-term, Dave.
see, I don't know, man. Like we need some excitement. So maybe a good AI war would be fun.
Okay, I'm gonna pass on that one. So you enjoy that.
Have you seen War Games with Matthew Broderick?
Yes.
Yeah. That's probably not gonna happen. It's probably okay. It's probably everything, not Skynet.
Everything that we've ever seen is gonna happen. What is it? Who are the ones that are in the cartoon with the family that Jetsons have predicted yeah. everything. Zoom.
Except for the flying car. Come on.
It's coming. It's coming.
No.
I've seen the hovercraft like water thing. We've digressed, Dave. Get us back on track.
Well, all right. Well, I'm angry about the flying car thing, but I do think Zoom is okay. That does seem pretty interesting.
Good.
All right. So I guess I'm getting the sense you still feel like you're going to do everything. You're just going to do everything more. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like your personality?
Yeah. Well, I have nothing else going on. I say that, but really, like, it's not sad. It's just in the moment of life I'm at, again, don't have like family up here, don't have kids or any attachments. Dog passed away a year ago. Like, it's the time is there. There's an opportunity, like you said, I think really with the female perspective of things. And like everything's been leading up to actually like, okay, let me see if I can work with companies or get paid monthly by these industry people or what have you, and then create the YouTube and make it valuable. And YouTube might not be the answer. It might be looking at Rumble or looking at that in the future. And I don't know if it's always going to be gun related too, is I'm worried. Of course we all are, but like the censorship and all of that is, what is the next platform? Is there one? I don't know what that looks like, right? But mm-hmm. I have to try. If I don't, again, I see what my buddies make and I'm like, I got to try to do this because they're so more well known because of YouTube. And like,
yeah.
like, again, they're going back to Cody, Brandon, Aaron. They're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I guess the YouTube's the answer to be like, oh, 3Gun and Kenzie's a thing. I don't know.
Who are those people that you're talking about?
Oh, Donut Operator, which is Cody, Brandon Herrera. And then Aaron is administrative results. I won't say his last name because I don't know. Okay. He just unveiled his face because he did all the videos like with a bot clava. I don't know how to say that thing. But now people know what he looks like. So we all travel a lot. We do the, you know, events, the Gundies. We were up at EOTech Tours. Like, you know, I'm in the industry. I just don't have a face. I don't know.
Well, those people don't write, right?
No, they're just all YouTube, but they got into it early. They did like a lot of the meme culture. They've got editors.
Yeah.
They're like cameras for sure.
I feel like the meme culture. So I don't know. I feel like there's different levels to everything, right? And so like, do you want to be Kool-Aid or do you want to be a protein shake? You know? So that's kind of the way I'm thinking about that content. But hey, Kool-Aid's cheap and everybody loves it.
I'm not doing entertaining. That's where the reason why I haven't made it, Dave, is I haven't taken my clothes off. I haven't I haven't sucked at shooting my entire time, right? I've gotten better. It's like I've done things the harder way where it's like I do want to be educational and not so much entertainment. My life's still entertaining. Like I'm ridiculous. I'll probably hurt myself in several videos coming up, right? But you know, I really want to add that value to companies and I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I didn't do it my way, even if it takes longer.
Yeah. Good for you. Well, I think there's a lot of value in the writing, right? And so I do feel like those are like two separate things. Like you would never read a like Donut Operator does like really good videos. I like his stuff, but you'd never read a what's his name again? Cody. You'd never read an article that he wrote.
I we crack up. I love Cody Depp. He's very much on the spectrum too, so I don't think he would even enjoy that like process of doing that. And I even asked him, like, if he wanted to come on a podcast, he's like, I don't want to go on a podcast. He just doesn't want to do any of that. So he just sits in his dungeon of laptop, does his video stuff, and runs off the memes. And again, his videos are great.
Yeah. I mean, there's different paths for everyone, right? There's like so many different ways to organize your life and to make it, for sure.
Yep. I had Brandon. So I guess this is like a coming soon. He's going to be on the cover of Skillset magazine that I write for. We did a whole interview. If I had let him write the interview and like the questions, it was like every other word was a curse word. I'm like, Brandon, I can't do this. I can't there. And so I pretty much had to go through and be like, all right, this is how it's gonna go. So yeah, you got to choose your talents and your strengths and do what's best. But if you want to try something, go for it. I think that's everything.
Nice. All right, so turning back to competitive shooting real quick, evaluating the landscape of quote-unquote sponsored shooters out there, what do you see that people are doing correct outside of the three examples you already gave? And what could people be doing better?
Yeah. What is so frustrating, bless their hearts, is when sponsored shooters get like a pile of goodies in from a brand. And I see this with, I can name names.
Mail call,
package, all the product laying on their bench. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. Of course you would. But it's so frustrating to me where I'm like, that is... It doesn't add value if you can do like maybe some splicing and put some video footage of using that gear, give a little bit of a review, take some angled photos. I mean, show the usage of it, right? So even though like I got one from Magpul, it's like, dude, the D60 is used in every single gun that I have, every single match. Like running the bipod on just even the Picatinny rail. So just showing like the different product uses. So that's my biggest headache with them is I could tell you never seen an actual product review or usage with those products in XYZ match event video from any sponsored shooters. So again, pictures of it on a bench are make me want to lose my mind and scream. I know you're excited to get those things, but do something with them and go take photos, go take videos, add them as a collaborator. So that's the other thing.
If you're going to do photos, you just leave them in the box, right? You don't ever take them out?
Yeah, just never. Damn it. So,
am I wrong on that? No.
Take the product out, please. Oh, like, okay. We don't care about packaging. Please. I can't even tell you what I get sent for like hunters sometime. I'm like, what?
Dude, my old job, we would get so many photos of guns on a bed.
Mm-hmm. Like, really gross. What the fuck are
you doing? Like, you don't have grass?
Yeah.
You have a sidewalk? Come on, man.
It's so painful. So the other thing on Instagram that is helpful is these companies are sending you product and in exchange, like they need content, whether it is video or photos or whatever. If it's YouTube, great. If it's XYZ, just a little bit goes a long way. So what I've been doing is inviting, you can only invite one, but a collaborator for your social media on Instagram posts. So like if you're doing a post dedicated, please don't tag 1200 brands. Please don't tag any brands that aren't even in the dang photo, right? I see that all the time, right? But I did Walker's ear protection and like Hunter's HD Gold glasses. And I talked about the importance of that. And like, I did Walker's as the collaboration. They accepted it. So it helps you too. Like it kicks you back some like links and follows because you're on their page. That's probably a lot higher than yours. Let's face it. But like, you know, they need content. They need people shooting because they're stuck in an office. And again, a photo of ear protection sitting on a bench is not going to do as much as you actually wearing it on the range and shooting it. So that what was the other question?
what are people doing wrong? What can they be doing better?
Oh yeah, and the better is reels, or just videos in general. The world is moving on from photos. I still think photography has its place, but if you can get creative, and that's the thing, is like I'm not on TikTok because I refuse to support China, but TikTok and Instagram or whatever you're using has the tools and the capability to add your own like clips, add audio, add a recorded audio. You can literally record it from that device. You can choose a cover photo. It does all of the tools for you. So if you're too lazy as a sponsored shooter to sit there and make a 20-second reel about something, like that's what's really frustrating for me to watch happen. Again, is like the bench photos and stuff, but just adding a really creative piece of content that's so custom to you and how you use something would go a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm focusing a lot on YouTube. Like when I started the podcast, it was audio only.
Yeah.
And like video podcasts really weren't a thing, but now you have to do your audio podcast, you have to do your video podcast, and then you have to cut up clips to promote it. Like the I used to do just like a shooter photo sort of thing with like a episode, whatever. And those never did any good, and they never went anywhere. And just last week, Apple Podcasts announced like they're going to now have individual episode album art. It's like, where were you guys for the last 354 episodes? Come on.
Sweet. Progress.
I mean, that's kind of a cool thing for sure. But all that to say, like, I'm kind of focusing a lot on YouTube. I got that notice that a lot of people did from Meta. Like, we're not showing your content to people outside of your following. Yep. And while it's relaxed a little bit, there was like a month there where my engagement went to like almost zero. And yeah, it's pretty bad. So what you're saying to build upon it of like, you know, focus on video and stuff like that. Short is easy, and if you're afraid of like starting, you can always, you know, start short, right? You can still do that on YouTube, right? There's YouTube shorts, and you can even repurpose the content that you make on like Instagram, but remove the watermark that's on there. But I've been seeing so much reach from YouTube shorts. Like it goes really far and creates a lot of followers from it. So that I feel is like, it's low hanging fruit, right? Because if you're already creating that for like Instagram or Facebook or something, you can just use the same thing over on YouTube.
Yep. And again, these already have the tools for you to do so many things. So that's the frustrating point that I see. And I see all these people out there with their friends. Hey, video my run. Oh, I got my Insta360 camera and I got blah, blah, blah. And I've never seen the footage ever from any of that, period. I was like, why am I filming all this? What are we videoing this for? And like, I'd never posted. Never. I could give names. I won't, but names.
Editing's hard.
Yeah, but it does it for you. That's what I'm saying. In most of these platforms, I mean, I understand like YouTube gives a little bit, but like there's so many tools on your phone. DaVinci Resolve is free, so I don't want to hear it. Yeah. If you've got a MacBook, then you have iMovie. I'm not an excuser, Dave. So
no, I get it.
You're not going to hear it. The sponsor tiers too. Like, why are we not treating the relationship and the partnership like a business, right? Like, you are a salesperson essentially. You are someone that is out there running it, but like sharing the good word about it, letting people use it or try it and demo it in different places, right? So it's frustrating because, I mean, like people like you and I, they're more hesitant in companies to work with some of these people because they've burned before. They've tried sending guns, gear, like whatever it looks like, right? Now they're having to go back and be like, we'll give you 10% off a rifle. I'm like, nope. and I mean, I've broken past that barrier just with like the portfolio, you know, that I've built, but that's not easy because I know there's other people doing some great stuff that just haven't been able to put that together yet, right? So if we treated these more seriously and we're just more thankful for even a little bit that they do, because that's the other stuff is just the what I hear from shooters, right, is just unbelievable.
Yeah. It's weird, but I don't know, whatever. There's bad apples in every bunch. Yeah. Can't let it spoil the whole bushel, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I think you're absolutely killing it. The amount of content that you're able to produce is like remarkable. I don't know where you come up with like all your ideas. It's
thank you.
It truly is impressive. So very, very cool to get to talk to you about it and like hear a little bit of your process and your thoughts on it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, it was great to have you. So folks want to catch up with you, it's going to be on the Reticle Up podcast and what, Three Gun Kenzie everywhere on the socials? Three Gun
Kenzie, on the socials. I'm on Facebook and Instagram for now. Maybe tonight I'll be like making the Twitter. Like, all right, Dave pressured me. I need to put the Twitter back on.
Yeah, so follow Three Gun Kenzie on Twitter because it's going to be there when you hear this.
True. And then on threegunkenzie.com is where I put classes, my events that I do every year, and my portfolio of articles. If you want to see articles, podcasts, links that I'm on, or, you know, anything like that, that's on there. Maybe we can get you out one day, but the Gals Day at the Range, Dave, is what I'm really passionate about too, is having women come out. I don't have the capacity to teach every weekend or every month, even like some of these instructors. So I do one big, huge event for women to come out all day, shoot rifles, pistols, shotguns, shoot full auto, shoot Tannerite. We blow up Firebird targets. Like, I make it a huge experience. Like, it's 8 hours. Like, I feed them, get them ice cream, giveaways. I gave away guns and suppressor, like 12 of them this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that's not me. That's the sponsors, right? Like,
yeah, of course.
I mean, Jeremy, our buddy Jeremy Gresham came through and sent us some IWI guns, and then Creekside Custom actually Cerakoted each one differently. So they were like teal and pink and splatter, and like, they were just so cool. So, I mean, I can't thank these companies enough, but like, next year I want 100 women. Like, I haven't hit 100 yet. I'm so close every year. But I would love to see that. And, you know, it's junior shooters, like 12, 13 year olds all the way up to 70 year olds come out. It's pretty cool.
Where's it at?
It's in right now Tennessee, so Eastern Tennessee, kind of near Knoxville. The goal and the dream, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but one day, maybe 2 years from now, I want to do like 4 of these in different regions in the country.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good goal for sure. All right, so Gals Day at the Range 2024. Check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, Kenzie. I do appreciate your time, and this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Prep and Press is proud to be a part of the Firearms Radio Network. If you like this type of content, help us grow the show and the shooting sports by sharing with a friend. Just open the podcast app you're using right now and hit that share button. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the range.